If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and we'll read the first 7 verses. Here these last 3 weeks of November, I'm doing a very brief series, and it's entitled The Sufficiency of God, God's Limitless Resources. And today about an Old Testament incident that provides for us an awareness of God's sufficiency. You know, you never really appreciate a mountaintop until you have walked through the valley. And you never really appreciate a victory until you have suffered a great defeat. And you never know that Christ is all you need until He's all you have. And in this little story from the Old Testament this morning, we're going to meet the prophet of God, Elisha. We're going to meet a woman who's lost her husband and who stands to lose everything. But most of all, we're going to meet a God who has limitless resources and whose sufficiency can overwhelm us at any time we empty ourselves and ask Him to fill us. Let me read the passage in your presence, beginning in verse 1. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my 2 children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside and borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons, and she poured. They brought the vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." A little backdrop, a little understanding of the passage. Elijah was the great prophet of God. Elisha, who was his successor, prayed, "Lord, allow me to do twice as much, have a double portion of your spirit upon me." Both Elijah and Elisha worked with what they called in those days the school of the prophets. A dozen or so young men who had taken a vow to serve the true and the living God, who followed after the prophets everywhere they went, observed, and sometimes were even involved. And the prophet would teach them and would mentor them, would show them a more perfect way in serving God. So one of these men was the husband of the woman in the passage. He and his wife and 2 sons lived nearby. We're not told how, we're not told when, we're not told where, but this man dies. And when the woman, the widow of this man, realizes that the creditors are about to pursue her to the point of taking her sons to be slaves and putting her out in nature without any home, without any help, she runs to the prophet. The term "she cried unto him" did not mean that she shed tears. It meant that she poured out herself to him. It meant that she revealed with urgency the need that she had and that she felt. Elisha, you know my husband loved God. He was following him. He was a scholar who was learning about him, and you know he died. And now the creditors have come, and they purpose to take my two sons to make of them servants, to earn back what I owe to them, and to put me out, and I am desperate. God had taken from her what she had depended upon to get by, to live. God had removed from her the source of her daily existence. God had demanded of her and from her that which she had depended upon. And now, in desperation, life has turned sour, the rug has been pulled out, and her world has been turned upside down. You may not recognize, but God does that sometimes. He removes what we're leaning on so that we will lean upon Him. He removes what we're trusting in so that we will trust in Him. He removes the foundation upon which we stand so that we will stand upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. You say it doesn't sound fair that God would do such a thing. But God is not as concerned about your wealth as He is your spiritual life. He's not nearly so concerned about your happiness as He is about your holiness. God longs for you to understand that He can meet every need. He can fix every problem. He can touch your life, and a mess can become a miracle. A problem can be solved. A crisis can become something Christ is honored in. And so it was in this little story that the demand that she could not meet brought about a disgrace that she could not bear. They were about to take from her her two sons. They were going to put them into slavery. And what meager wages those two boys would have earned would have applied to the debt that she owed. But by the time they could have met the debt, she would have been out of her home for so long she most likely would not have still been living. She just had lost her husband. She's about to lose her sons. She's going to lose her home and really her reason for living. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know but what there might be somebody or even several somebodies in this room this morning who are there. Life can pull the rug out from under us. Life can take from us what we've always trusted in. Life can leave us feeling as if we've been abandoned. Life is not fair. In fact, the struggles of life are called by Jesus Himself tribulations, troubles that we all experience. That's a common thread that we all have. Look then at a compassionate touch. The man of God, how searching is his words. She cries out to him. She explains the situation. He hears with his heart, not just his ears. And he asked her a question. What can I do for you? Let me pause for a moment. That is a question you and I ought to be asking the world that we live in. In this room today, there are some very blessed people. The hand of God has been so very good to us. We know where our next meal is coming from. We have clothes to wear tomorrow. We have a bed to sleep in tonight. And most of us have much, much, much more than that. Our Father has been good to us. And yet, this coming week, you will encounter somebody somewhere that you ought to look in their face with love and compassion and ask the question, what can I do for you? How can I come to your rescue? What do you need from me? Oh, I know we have raised a generation of people who say, what can you do for me? It's everywhere and it has found its way into the church. What can you do for me? Like this is a country club and you pay your dues and you want the right song to be sung and the right sermon to be preached and the right temperature to be had. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a country club, and what you pay are not dues. They are tithes and offerings to a God who's worthy. But here's the biggest issue of all. You are not here to get. You are here to give. For that is the truest nature of our Heavenly Father. And when you are in the giving mode, you look more like Him and act more like Him than ever before in your lives. What can I do for you? He said. And then he asked a second question. What do you have? And listen to how she answered it. And here's the emphasis upon the words as they were found in the original language. I have nothing in my house. Just a little jar of oil. The emphasis from her viewpoint is not upon the oil. It's upon the nothing. I have nothing but a little jar of oil. And so Elisha turns the emphasis from the nothing to the something. And in this compassionate touch, he reminds her, now listen, he reminds her that little is much when God is in it. He reminds her that even a little jar of oil in the hand of the Creator of the universe is not nothing. It's something. He reminds her that all she needs to do is give to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think what she has. And if she's willing to make that commitment to give what she has, then God will give what He has to make up the difference. I told you last week about the shovel principle. God has a shovel, and I have a shovel, and I shovel it out, and God shovels it in, and hallelujah, His shovel is a lot bigger than my shovel. So there is no way I can outgive God who continuously lets blessings flow into my life. How searching were the words of this man. What do you want? What do you need? What do you have? And how simple was the command. Just commit what you have in order to receive what He has. Now, if you leave with nothing else, could I repeat that so you could remember that? You commit what you have in order to receive what he has. And then here's what he said. Go to your neighbors. Borrow all the pots and pans you can find. Bring them back to your house. Take them inside and close the door. And you take that little jar and you begin to pour into that first pot. Now, you know as well as I that a little jar would not even cover the bottom of the pot. And yet, here's where the story really gets good. As she poured, the pot filled. And as she poured and the pot filled, the jar did not empty. You hear me? She poured and the pot filled. But as the pot filled, the jar did not empty. She set it aside when it was full. She received another. As she poured, the pot filled, but the jar did not empty. She poured, God filled, but the jar did not empty. And as long as there was an emptiness, there was a supply to fill that emptiness. If you will give God your empty self, He will fill you with His supply. When you are full of materialism, worldliness, and all things manufactured in this life, you cannot and will not be full of that which is given from the life yet to come. You see, when hate fills your heart, goodness can't. When resentment fills your life, then blessing can't. When you are selfish, then God's provision won't. When you're stingy, then God will withhold that which He has to give. You give Him yourself, that's empty, and He will pour you full. But, Pastor, will that not touch the resources of heaven? Every pot we supply, He can fill, and the jar will not empty. In fact, our God is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in His hands. He cannot lose in order for us to gain, because He is a limitless God with a full supply. So, here's a comforting truth, and I'll let you go. If a common thread is among us, we all can be in this position, this condition, this situation at some time or another. If the man of God gave a compassionate touch, and she committed what she had so that she could receive what God could give, then here's the comforting truth. Faith produces obedience. We are too prone to walk by sight. Sight gets you a few steps. Faith will take you home. Sight is obvious. You do what you can see to do. Faith is not so obvious. You do what God leads you to do, even if you can't see the outcome. Borrowing indicated trust. She borrowed empty vessels. What a foolish woman she would have been had she taken them back still empty. No result. It was just a risk I was willing to take. But she borrowed, trusting that God would fill. She trusted, believing that God would supply. And if walking in obedience is a matter of trusting God, then we give, whether it's our finances or our time or our energy, we give not according to our mind, what we think we can do. We give according to our heart, what we believe God wants us to do. I've often set out on a journey I was not sure I could complete. I've often made promises I was pretty sure I couldn't keep. And yet God and His ableness helps us to do what He alone wants us to do when we walk by faith. And here is a father that produced an overflow. I just want you to imagine, go back a number of years, go back thousands of years. I want you to imagine it's time to take the vessels home. They're borrowed. Time to take the vessels home. Now, I know this. The neighbors were aware of her problem. They surely knew that her husband had died. They were aware of how creditors came and took the children. There was no Social Security. There was no insurance. Unless you had rich relatives, there was no means of help. Anytime a husband would die, the wife and whatever children were left behind became beggars for the rest of their lives. So the neighbors knew that was what was happening. They also knew that she borrowed vessels. And what a strange thing for a widow woman to do when the creditors are coming. Give me all your pots and pans. But then again, God does not have to make sense to this world. He's God. He can do whatever He chooses to do. He can do whatever He pleases to do. Please don't forget, He's God. And now she's returning the vessels. Well, I hope you were able to use the vessel. Oh, yes, I was. Let me tell you what God did. Then she went to the next door. Well, thank you for bringing the pot back. I hope you were able to use it. Well, let me tell you what God did. And all of a sudden, everybody in her neighborhood that she had borrowed pots and pans and vessels from was aware that in their neighborhood the hand of God had come down and the miracle of God had taken place and the man of God had shown her what the gospel is all about. That our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or think. The hour's late. I'm out of time, if not out of sermon. So let me just tell you two more things. Number one, generous people don't always have big bank accounts. They have big hearts. You need to get that. 50 plus years of ministry, I've seen God use the common man more than the uncommon man. Generous givers don't have big bank accounts mostly. They just have big hearts. Second thing I wanted to tell you is, when God meets your need, tell your neighbors about it. When God blesses your life, tell your neighbors about it. When you take the vessel home, don't hide the fact that God filled it and used it so that from this day forward, you'll be able to live on the rest. Do you know what happened that morning? She was not given a meager get-by. She paid off every creditor. And for the rest of her life and her son's life, they lived on the rest. Hallelujah. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Tell your neighbors, you have a good, good Father. Let's stand. Without Christ, you have no hope in this world or the world to come. So when pastors are in the altar and God speaks to you this morning, come and take one of their hands and say, I want to know how to be saved. Church membership elsewhere, you're worshiping with us on a regular basis. We'd love for you to come and become a part of the family. So you come quickly when the pastors are here. You're struggling in some area of your life. Listen quickly to these two principles. You give Him what you have in order to receive what He has. You give Him what you have in order to receive what He has. Now, you may say what the woman said, I have nothing. You've got something. You've got self. You give Him what you have in order to receive what He has. Pastors, quickly come, if you will. And as God speaks to your heart this morning, you come.
And there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. all you've given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you. Grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Quickly before we go, there are lots of announcements and events over the next few days. Make sure you read very closely your handout today. In first service this morning, we had two professions of faith, and in this service, Sarah Davis, would you come please to the altar? She comes on the statement of her faith in Christ, desiring to be a part of the Central family. Would you give her a great big Central welcome?